Yo, what's up? Welcome back to the Team Reign Supreme podcast show. We're here with Pango, the Missions 2PM crew, OTC, WD, and currently the West Coast president of the X-Vandals. Yo, what's up, Pango?
Yo, what's up, Todd? Good to have you, man. Good to have me on, man. I appreciate it.
Right on, man. Long overdue. What's good?
Yeah, you know, we get it in. You know, we got families, but, you know, it's always good to make this time, so I'm much obliged, brother.
Right on, man. So, let's get into it, brother.
Okay.
Tell me when you started writing, you know, and what made you write.
I started in 83, and what made me write was basically what made everybody else write, seeing Star Wars and stuff like that, subway art and all that. But for me, I kind of was like already writing without even knowing that I was writing, you know what I mean? Coming from the mission and stuff like that, from the gang life and all that, because like I said, I was the one that had the better hand out of my little, my associate, my gang associates. I would be the one to write the roll call down. So Ray Pant was already there.
Oh, cool. And what neighborhood you come from? Like, what part of the mission?
We were coming from the 24th and Mission, coming from, you know, right there by McDonald's and stuff. I lived straight down, like, the next two blocks. I lived on South and S in the Mission. I mean, in the Mission. It was South and S, like, South and S and 24th. My backyard was Cypress Valley, which is now, you know, a legal spot to paint. So, yeah, it was, like, kind of crazy how that happened.
That's cool. What gang was you affiliated with back then?
Well, at first, it was just us hanging out and like the kids that lived on that block. Like, I lived on South and S. A lot of us, like my homeboy Jaws and Drewby and all them, they lived on Cap Street. My homeboy Teddy lived on Cap Street, which is right up from the alleyway from Cypress and Cap Street.
Oh,
and then, you know, we were like, my other boy lived on 25th in San Jose. It was a trip. We all used to hang out. And we were trying to find our own little niche back then. We were calling ourselves Cap Street Boys. And at that time, on my side of the block, it was a little fast food restaurant called Tacos Tacos. It was like a little drive-up, you know, fast food taco stand.
Okay.
And people would see us hanging out there. You know, we knew the people that worked there. We're just sitting there lounging around, you know. And they would, like, make fun of us. Oh, look at the tacos, tacos, and, you know, like, trying to clown. Because we were hanging out, like, look at all, you know, we're all dressed like solos and stuff like that. So it was like, oh, look at, that's the little tacos, and stuff like that. And then what had happened was up the street on 24th and Mission on McDonald's, that was, you know, that was the Mission. So that was, like, SFM. That was, like, the older guys. I was older than us, and they were already established since the 70s. So when they seen us running around being little, you know, little cholas or little vatos, whatever you want to call it, and stuff, you know, doing stuff that probably reminded them of them when they were our age. So it was like, wow, those guys are just, you know, off the hook. And they, you know, they doing whatever, not, you know, not tripping. One of these older dudes had new My homeboy Chewy was like more trying to be like in that league with the older guys, like, and get that reputation or get that respect from them, which he kind of had. So this dude named Lenio from the Mission had pulled him to the side one day and he said, "Hey, homie, I see you and your homeboys out here, you know, doing your thing and stuff like that. You know, what you guys, once you guys start up, you know, LTM, once you be little time." And he was like, "Oh, all right." So that was like giving us the go ahead to be under them. And then, you know, we knew if we'd be under them, we had, you know, big respect. You know, we have older guys that'll rep us, that'll back us up. So it was like, all right, cool. So we looked at that and we were like, okay, we're right down the street from them. We're still going to hang out at Paco's Tacos, but, you know, SFM's up the street, LTM's down the street. So that kind of fit. You know, in that time, you know, that, okay, we're the younger heads and they're the older heads. So if anything, if it gets too crazy or if anything happens, we can just run up the street and say, hey, you know, this and that.
Oh, okay. But, what other gangs were out there around that time?
Back then, it was, this was like in, like, we started like in 82 with the LTM thing. And then there were older gangs that was like, they really didn't have like no, a few had like little cliques and stuff like that. We had one incident where we went to go check out a football game up in, I think it was St. Mary's Park. Mm-hmm. And it was a football game in Cortland. Cortland was another neighborhood like further up Mission towards like past 30th or something like that. And then you go over to here towards Vernal Heights. So that was Cortland area. And they had bigger guys, and then they also had younger guys, but they weren't called like Little Time Cortland. They were called Cortland Run.
Oh, I see.
So they were playing, I guess, a football game against, I forgot who it was, and we were just there to, you know, check out the game. So I think something that happened with them that they lost or something like that, and they started like, you know, like calling us out, like, oh, what's up, where you guys from, and this and that. And we were like, we're, you know, I think it was only like three of us at the time we were up there. And they started like, you know, like, man, get out of here, just, you know, talk crazy to us. But, you know, nothing happened. Nobody jumped on us or anything. Mm-hmm. They just like walked us out of their neighborhood or whatever. And then after that, we came back that same night with maybe like 20 of us with like sticks and bats. They had like a little recreation center where they used to hang out at. And then I guess they got word that we were coming or somebody else. It was funny that we went back then, the 67 bus used to go up there. I don't even think the 67 is even around now, but we took the bus. we all jumped on the bus with bats and sticks and our, you know, chains and all that. Like, we were pissed off that, you know, we didn't go up there to mess with them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they just, you know, like, seeing that we was just three or four of us, and they had a gang of them, so like, oh, okay, they called us out. So, all right, we'll be back. And when we came back, we're calling them out. They were in their little recreation center. Somehow the cops got word of it. They chased us off the block. We were all running with sticks and throwing the sticks our way. And it was crazy. But then after that, we became cool with them because it was just a misunderstanding. They didn't know who we were, and they didn't know how strong we were. So after they found out, you know, we kind of like, okay, let's, you know, the thing back then was like, either you fight or you play football. So we end up, you know, like, hanging out with them, you know, going to their neighborhood. They come down to, you know, to Paco's to hang out with us.
Oh, okay.
They had homegirls, and, you know, it was like a mutual thing because, you know, it was like, all right, you know, these guys got hard, and, you know, this and that, so let's just, you know, just be cool and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. And then, so then you guys, back then, you guys were getting up and you were doing the roll calls.
Yeah. I would like say we would go somewhere, or even in the alleyway, we would all, like, you know, somebody either got some spray paint or whatever, or we stole some paint, or somebody had it or whatever, and they would come in, and somebody would, sometimes they was the person who had it, they might be trying to like tag their name up, and then they'll sit here. Back then, before I was Tango, I was Penguin from the gang life.
Oh, okay.
So they'd say, give it to Penguin, and then I would like, okay, name, you know, everybody's calling out their name. Like, you know, I'm like on the wall, like, all right, I'll start with my name, Penguin. And then after that, Nettie was Silent back then. So I would write Silent. And then after that, it would be whoever, hey, hit up Droops, hit up, you know, for Droops or Droopy. And I'll write Droops, Smiley, whoever was there that day, mm-hmm. you know. And then after that, back then we would do block letters, which became, once we started doing graffiti, throw up. Because a block letter was just a thick letter with no fill, like a hollow, and then you would just scratch in or scribble in like the 3D part, mm-hmm. all with the same pen. So it was, you know, a throw up if it was in New York. So it was just like, before we found out, like, man, we were doing graffiti before we even knew it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How did you transition to like what we call writing now, the style writing now?
Well, when Subway Art came out, it was a TV channel that was I think it was Independent Channel, or you can pay to have something on. They had put Subway Art on Channel 9. And the first time they put it out, I missed it. And then somebody was telling me, oh, did you see that show last night about graffiti and this and that? And they did it in New York on the train. I was like, oh, I didn't see anybody record it. Back then, we had VHS and, you know, big old tapes and stuff like that, recorders. Yeah. So that channel, if you call them up, you can request to tell them to put another segment like that. Hey, can you put what you put on last week on again? I didn't catch it. And if a lot of people call it, they'll put it on.
Oh, okay.
So I guess somebody had requested. I think I requested it and a couple of other people requested and it played again. This time I was ready. So I had my VCR hooked up to, you know, had the station ready. I'm waiting for it to come on. I think it came on around like 6 or 7 o'clock. And so, I'm, you know, everything's good. I'm ready. Sitting in front of the TV, they announced it. Oh, okay. Boom, I recorded it. So once I recorded, I started studying that thing. Like, man, I think it was homework every day after school. Like, I got it on tape. Who didn't see it? This and that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then back then, me and Nettie, like, he was the second person that would either write the roll call down, because he had a good hand style and, you know, from what we call the cholo writing or the flocker writing, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, so me and him, like, took to it real quick, because, hey, we the ones that deal with spray paint the most, and we the ones that, you know, do the art the most.
Mm-hmm.
So we watched it, and we kind of, like, trying to emulate it and try to do stuff. We were so caught up in it, we were, like, dressing like it, and, you know, just anything that we've seen on that segment that we would take to it and start talking, you know, like, yo, and word, and paying off, you know, it's kind of fit the scene and stuff like that. And then back when we were, like, still gangbang, we were like, okay, well, before I became Tango, I was, because I'm half Creole, I was calling myself Kid Creole, and and then down the street was another neighborhood called Shotwell, which sort of like my mentor was Paul. Paul is Zeth from KGB. He was the one that he also took to it too, because he was the artist from his gang and stuff like that. So once he started like getting up, he had like other names before Zeth and stuff like that. And me and him was like, we was going to Mission High and we were like tagging in our bathrooms, locker rooms and all that. So I told him, I write Kid Creole, what you write? And I think he was writing Knock or something like that, or Nav, one of those type of names.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would write either, we wanted to do everything like New York, so we were trying to copy the numbers, but, you know, we didn't have long streets like that, like 100 and this and that. We had, you know, just 24, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to have something like different, so we would use our birth number. Like, so I would be Kid Creole 69, that's the year I was born.
Okay.
And then sometimes to elongate it, I would put a 6, a letter D, and then the 9, 69, you know. So we were doing all types of stuff just to, like, really, like, be writers and stuff like that, just that New York type of style.
So,
and then,
Zest, you knew Zest from back in the day when you guys were in gangs, so.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was Playboy back in those days.
I see.
And then his neighborhood was lightweight, like a gang, but there were guys that lived there and stuff like that. It's gotten worse now, this generation, like the second generation of Shotwell.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally different from back when we were kids. We used to hang out there and we used to play this game called Heat, where it was like a group tag where if you tag somebody, they have to stay froze. But somebody on that team can unfreeze them and stuff. Mm. We're running all around the whole, you know, the whole neighborhood. And then it was more like a family neighborhood instead of like a gang neighborhood. But only thing that made it a gang was all of those people would have each other's back. So it's like if you mess with somebody and then, you know, they're like, oh, man, that's homie from Shotwell and this and that.
Oh, so you guys all come together when you guys had beef.
Yeah, we would all come together. And I lived right up the street. I lived on South Annette, but I would run with Shotwell before, you know. So everything was cool. And then Paul, he had friends from this other gang had started up. I think it started up maybe like 85. Mm-hmm. And it was some guys from the other side of Mission, like sort of going down towards 20th. And I would say 20th and Valencia. And they had like this little park called Mission Playground.
Okay.
And then these guys would hang out there, and they end up starting a gang who happened to be Rocco's older brother. Rocco's older brother was named Babyface. So he started this gang called HHG. Mm. And when they started, you know, they had a bunch of guys and stuff like that. And then I guess Paul knew him from school or hung out with him. And then he ended up joining them and stuff like that. So once he joined them, he still lives on Shotwell, but he's going to go hang out with his boys in 20th.
Mm.
So these guys, you know, they were, you know, cool and stuff like that. But we had got into it with them, like when they, like, I guess maybe like the first year that they started out, mm-hmm. they were maybe like, I think in their 20s, 18 and stuff like that, taller than us. We were like 15, 14 and stuff like little, wearing Ben Davis and, you know, Dickies and all that. Mm-hmm. So there was a girl from our gang whose house was in their neighborhood on Lexington Street.
Okay.
And then the house, I think it was her auntie or aunt, we all called her Aunt Susie. Her name was Aunt Susie. So she was an older woman, of course, and then she was like, you know, like, oh, yeah, you guys can come over. Back then, it wasn't CDs or anything. We would play records on a record player back then. So, you know, she had nice records. We'd dance in the oldies. You know, we're doing the cholo thing, you know, like, hey, you know, trying to grind on the girls and, you know,
nice.
Do all that.
Yeah.
So we're there in the house playing music. She would buy up for us, you know, buy us beer and all that. So, you know, we thought we were grown, you know, we're just doing everything that, you know, our older homies did or any gang member would be doing at that time. And then this other guy, he was from another neighborhood that was cool with us. He was from 22nd. And back then, now 22nd is called 22nd Hogs.
Okay.
But back then, it was just TSA, 22nd Homeboys. And then there was a little dude named Peter. Little Peter was, he was cool. And he would hang around with us, but he liked to start trouble. And I think he thought maybe because he was small that he could get away with a lot of stuff. And, you know, nobody ain't gonna fight no little short dude, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then so he was just, he had a lot of heart, though. He would call you out and stuff like that. And people would fight, ask him, like, man, shut up, little punk, and this and that. So, you know, we were at the party, you know, dancing. And he ends up looking out the window. One of these guys from HHG's walking by, this dude named Spooks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dude asked him, like, hey, where you from, like that? And then little Peter, I'm dancing and doing, you know, I don't hear what's going on. He says, 22nd, like that. And then the dude, and then he asked, dude, where you from? He said, oh, HHG, what? And then Peter says, fuck HHG. And then after that, he was like, well, come out here and say that or whatever. So the dude left. And then Peter didn't say nothing, and then he's like, hey. And then you hear, like, when the sun's over, the music's getting lower, he's like, hey, come outside, punks, and this and that. And we look out the window, and all these older dudes are standing outside, like, what's up? Yeah, this 20th, this and that, they're calling out, you know, their neighborhood and stuff like that. They're calling us to come out. So we go out, and they start taking off on us, and we fighting back, but, you know, we're kind of losing, and you know, it's like, man, these dudes are big. They trying to slam us on cars, all types of stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we held our own. And then we're like, man, they got us that day in the daytime. So we end up, like, you know, I think you hear the cops come and they break off. But, you know, it was like, damn, what was going on? It was like, oh, man. So that night, just like we did with Cortland, we went to their neighborhood with bats and sticks. That's what we knew. It was like, hey, we ain't the biggest dudes, but we ain't no punks. We're going to go handle it. Whatever it takes to handle it, you know, it's like, ain't no rules when you're game, man. Ain't no, oh, you got to come with your fist unless it's a one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, you know, these dudes had us by height, had us by age. So we're like, let's go get some sticks and go whoop their ass. So we went back to their neighborhood and the same exact thing. Their neighborhood was more like on the main street, like where the house where they were hanging out at, that we caught them at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the grandmother or somebody, I think they called the parents. I think we went straight to Babyface's house, and there were a couple of them out there. And then the cops came, we dropping our sticks, throwing them in the garbage can. And we're like, ain't gonna be no fight, this and that, blah, blah, blah. So they knew that we were like down to come back, and then they ended up doing the same thing the next day, coming to the alley, and the cops pulled them over and pinned them up against the wall. And we're like, yeah, big ass dudes came to fight us. But somehow it just got all resolved, and we never like had a big rumble with them. We just let it go. I think a year or so later, they started a little game under them. It was called BMP. A lot of Body on Mission Park, because that was their hangout, was called Mission Playground.
Oh, okay.
So the youngsters that were our age started saying, yeah, we're from 20, but we're the younger guys. And then, you know, they were like, oh, okay, we're BMP, though. We're not HHG, little HHG. We're just called Body on Mission Park, but we're the same clique. We're just different names. So we ended up, like, they were going to Mission High and stuff like that. And then my boy Casper, he ended up going to Mission. He was from going to Lincoln, he transferred to Mission. So all of us that were already in Mission High, we were already, you know, like, maybe in the 9th or 10th grade already.
Oh, you guys were already established.
Came, yeah, we were there, like, 2 years before he even came. And then these guys, they were there, too. One guy, I think his name was Ray Cuevas. He seen my boy Alan. Alan was called Casper back then. He's still called Casper, but you know, I guess he's singled him out, thinking, "Oh, that white boy, you know, I can get with him because he's a white dude, you know."
Mm-hmm.
So he was standing on our sitting on the stairs in front of the school. We all hang out in front of the school. There was a park right across the street from the school, Dolores Park.
Mm-hmm.
They would hang out over there, and then I didn't catch on that they were mad dogging each other with dude Ray. I forgot. I think they called him Casper too. Maybe that's why he was like, oh, okay. Like tripping off Alan.
Mm.
So the bell rings for, you know, we're hanging out at lunch. And then when the bell rings to go back in, they're coming across the street. And he comes right up. And Alan turned to look to go. And he said, to go up the stairs into the building. He said something. Hey. And then when he turned around, he stole on Alan and hit Alan in the eye and, like, swole his eye up. And Alan went down. But then he got up, and then everybody broke up. What's up? What's up? What's up? What's this and that? So he got away with the steal. But then he was like, no, that ain't cool, because we were cool with some of them. So I think I told Wolfie, why are you stealing my homie like that? And then he was like saying, oh, I'm Casper. You know, they were tripping off the names and stuff like that. So we told him, all right. He ain't no punk, you know, you just stole on him, but he'll go one-on-one. He's all right, come to the park. We went to their park, and then they had this other dude named Buddy Holly. He looked like Buddy Holly from, you know, the singer back
then. The singer back then?
60.
Okay.
Yeah, he was cool, and then he used to sell weed, so he's like, we're walking there to go, you know, have this one-on-one fight, and then he's saying, oh, okay, whoever wins, I'm going to give him this joint, this and that. The dude from their gang, their Casper, Rusty, my boy Casper, my boy took off on him. Bing, 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 bing. Dropped him. He's on his knees, like, trying to cover his face. Alan's just drilling on him. Wah, 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 wah. Punk, punk. What do you want to steal on me? And just letting loose on him. Then after that, you know, nobody's jumping in. Back then, they had, like, some, you know, like, back then it was like a mixed gang and stuff like that. So they had some Samoans with them. And then I guess this one Samoan dude, he came late to it, and he seen his boy getting whooped on, and he didn't know what was going on. He don't see none of the homies that's with him helping. So he went and, like, punched my boy Alan in the side.
He
was like, hey, and we all rushed him. Hey, what's going on? He's like, what's going on? What? This is 20. You know, he's like, I'm from BMP too, and this and that. But my other homeboy that I set it up with, Whoopi, he was like, nah, his name was Oscar. He grabbed his boy. He grabbed us from one. He was like, oh, nah, this is a one-on-one. Let it go like that. So the dude from their side named Ray, he just just sitting there bleeding like I'm done, like he didn't want no more. They shook hands, that was it. And then we were leaving, and we said, hey, hey, buddy, you owe us a joint. He's like, yeah, I keep my word.
he gave you the joint. That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. So, yeah, that was one of them things. Another guy that was from AJG had also became a writer, too. And his name was Haley Robert. Mm-hmm. But he and Paul was into graffiti, too. So he was busy. He was busy, RWs. And they both were from 20th. And then I remember one time we, you know, after we were kind of cool with them not tripping, we would go to their park and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Him and another guy or whoever, they had really big blockbusters, like big as a freight train, ACC in their park with silver. That, and then had all their names inside as the fill. Like they did it all straight, solid silver.
Mm-hmm.
But you see the names going down. I was like, damn, it lifted. If we knew more about graffiti back then, that would have been like a fat, you know, rollout. But it was all spray paint, silver. It was crazy. I was like, hella clean though, hella square, hella 3D. It was all shaded in black. I was like, damn, that's really dope.
Damn, and so that's
so
like
tall. Like they used a ladder and everything. It was like so high. It was like higher than a building almost. I was like, damn, that's what it looks like. HHG, hella big, with everybody's name inside, like. I was like, yeah, they got down on that.
So then that's the transition, from doing stuff like that.
It was Dizzy and Paul, Dizzy and Beth, that probably like, let's go hit it up.
Mm.
Yeah.
So but, what about the 2 p.m.? Like, so Dizzy was in R-Dubs, Zest was in KGB.
KGB.
And then you guys had formed 2 p.m. And what's that stand for?
Well, how that came, it was like, all right, in our gang situation, everybody would break off into twos. It would be, we would all have our own little, like, everybody had their own little hustle.
Okay.
So it was me and Ed always hung out. And then, you know, we would go to Fisherman's Wharf. Remember they had those picture frames with the Ferraris and the girl on top and all that? Remember those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And we would go steal those. We would take orders from people from the neighborhood, like, oh, you want this one? Or, you know, because, you know, they see us coming back with, like, oh, I want one of those. Oh, all right, give me $10. And then we'd go and do that. And we'd go steal markers. We'd do anything. We're just going out racking everything, like markers, back with stuff that people wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I had another, Casper. He hung out, Casper's Allen. He hung out with Jaws. They would steal motorcycles. They would steal ninja bikes. Cause they had a hookup with a ninja, like a bike company store. I think it was on 20th in Valencia. The guy would tell him, if you steal me this, I can change it and do a number job on it, and I'll give you $500 for this type of ninja.
Oh,
so
wow.
Everybody had their own little, like,
hustle.
I went with them one time. It was crazy. They you know what a dent puller is? How you pull out the dent with the mm-hmm. little weight thing and you screw it in and you hit the weight and it pulls out the dent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how they would get motorcycles. They would go with a small dent puller and have it in the bag. Late at night, they'll see a ninja or whatever parked on, you know, by the side of a house, stick it in the ignition where you put the key,
mm-hmm.
and pull out the whole ignition and turn it on and then jump on the bike and take off.
Oh,
I was like, damn. So they would do that. They would, we had people popping trunks and stuff like that, like stick a screwdriver in a trunk and then everything that's in the trunk is everybody who grabs whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just, you know, stealing beach cruisers, like mountain bikes. All everybody had their own little thing. So it was always me and Ned, it was Alan and Catherine Jaws, it was my cousin Stevie and Mosco. You know, everybody was always two. So when me and Ned was like getting more into graffiti, we were like, okay, we gotta have a name for ourselves. Like that, it's just us two. And then after that, we were thinking of different names and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, we would always say, "You're gonna go. I want to do a piece. I want to do a piece." We would never say, "Oh, I want to let's go do some graffiti." You know, we were using the graffiti language. Let's go do a piece. We didn't say burner too much. We would say, "Let's go do a piece." So I was like, "Man, we need to come up with a name that goes with a piece like that." You know what we do?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just happened to come up with like, "Oh, okay." It's two of us, so we're just two peacemakers. and then I found TCM started. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, let's just call ourselves Two Peacemakers. So we just write TCM. And then after that, it was like, people used to think that that was the time we went out. Like, oh, they went out at this time
to
go tag and stuff like that. I was like, no, that ain't the time we went out. That's the name of our crew. And then people used to clown at you like, oh, because sometimes if I'm not with Ned, and you see Ned and you see him tag TTM or whatever, this and that, people that, if they didn't know me, they didn't know my nationality or what I was. So they would like make up shit and try to clown like, oh, TTM, two punk Mexicans. They see Ned.
That's funny.
Or they would say two punk motherfuckers. Or, you know, they see us both. And then we started switching that, and oh, two paint motherfuckers, you mean, or two pimp motherfuckers. You know, we would come back and change it around, but it was funny like that.
I thought that was a dope name, though, because Peacemaker, you know, is a name for a particular pistol.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I thought that was dope, the play on words.
And then another thing what tripped me out, it was back then, since we're in the game and all that. And then later on, like maybe like in the 90s when things started changing from just being the block after block gang, it started being like, you know, the North and South type thing. So everybody on this side of 24th and up was like the northern side of the Mission. Everybody from down 20th, and HHG had died out. Some other guys, called MS, they took that neighborhood and they started making a name for themselves, calling themselves 20th, but they were Mata Salvatrucha, so they were the Salvadorian 13th.
And when was that?
And then that was maybe like around, I would say, maybe 93, 94, something like that.
Okay.
And that had happened because the first 13th gang was the dude Corey and all those guys. Corey, it was funny. Corey lived in my backyard. He lived in Cypress Valley. His uncle was named Chewy. His uncle's name Ruben. And he would tell me, oh, my nephews are coming from Mexico. Can you befriend them? Because, you know, they didn't know English or anything, right? So when they came, they came illegally. They were coming across the border. They came all the way to the city, to the alley. And, you know, out of a truck and all types of, it was crazy. And then the first day I met him, he didn't know how to speak English and stuff like that. I only knew a little Spanish and stuff like that. And we almost got into it. And so after a while, he, you know, would meet whoever he met, and him and his brother started up Surtrece. They started it up with all the other like guys who wouldn't be in like a gang that, you know, they couldn't fit in. They would go and get them, they'd speak Spanish to them, they'll tell them about, oh, this and that, and then they end up making 13th Street. So they were way down by, they were way out of sight, like down in the cuts of, by trying to be on 13th Street, but 13th Street is under the freeway, so they really wasn't there. They were like sort of more down like on 18th Street, but way down, like further down Mission, down the other side of Mission. So you, but
towards Patron?
Corey and his brother, yeah, towards that way. Mm. But Corey and his brother live in Cypress Valley. They live right there.
Oh wow!
And then every time we would see them, they would be coming more choloed out. They're more like, they're learning English more, and they're doing their thing and stuff like that. But every time we would hear about them, we would hear like, oh, yeah, they got chased by 22nd. They got this and that. Mm-hmm. But nobody would never come straight to their house. They would hang out with us. We were a little time Mission. Mm-hmm. They were 13. But we were running like really on that back then. We weren't really on the North and South. They were the only like South Southerners. And then PBLs were sort of like cool with them and stuff like that. So that's why you would see Corey PBL sometimes. Corey and Chuco. Funny thing, Chuco was our homeboy, little man's older brother. So he was PBL. I mean, Puente Vista Locos. That's the bridge guys. They hung out. You know where the cord company's at?
Yeah, yep.
you know, the other part where you go into the chorus company from the park, from like across the park.
On the other
bridge,
side.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that was the point there, the bridge.
Oh, okay.
The PVLs used to hang out at. They'd be all under there. And then, so, you know, it was a trip that, you know, here's one guy in our gang, his older brother's in this other gang, and we're fighting his right. We're in his rival gang, like Mission with PVL's rivals, but we're little time Mission. And this older guy's brother is in PVL, but the little brother is in LTM. So who are you going to help? You're going to help your brother's gang out if he gets into it with Mission? Are you going to help the Mission gang out? Because you're the little part of that. So it was weird like that.
Huh.
But, you know.
What about Hampshire? So, was over there by that La Raza Park, right?
Yeah, Hampshire, yeah. I was, back then, Hampshire was cool. Hampshire was like older dudes, and they had like, big dudes in Hampshire. And then we also had a homeboy that was from Hampshire named Wally that used to hang out with us. Everybody seemed to hang out with us because we were like more into like just wilding out, doing, you know, crazy things when we were LTM, like, a lot of people called us little troublemakers and stuff like that because we back then with a lot of house parties. And then when you go to a house party, you invite other people from other gangs over there. But we would go in and we'd see whoever we didn't get along with and we would fight. Mm. And then we'll be fighting in somebody's house, tearing up shit. And then I remember one time we went to this party. Since me and Eddie was more into the graffiti, people had more respect. If I used to do flyers for people, I used to do flyers for like food dances and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that would be my way to get in. Like, oh, here, can you hook this flyer up? And it's going to cost this much and blah, blah. And I'll do it all. And they go, right, make copies. And I said, just let me and Ned in. And it's like, all right, cool. So I didn't have to pay to get in. And then people will make flyers for their house or whatever. And then they'll ask me to do it or ask Ned to do it. And we'll do it, throw a little character on there, say this and that. This is what time. So it became where you guys can come, but don't bring nobody from LTM or don't bring dogs and all, you know, all your troublemaking homies and that. Mm-hmm. So we were like, all right. But we weren't going to fake on our homies and stuff like that. We would just go. I mean, one time we went to this party on 25th.
Mm-hmm.
They heard us coming. They turned off the lights. And you could hear them saying, be quiet, be quiet. We knocked on the door. Hey, what's up? The girl who owned the house comes to the door. Oh, no, it got canceled. We ain't having it. I'm like, we just seen you turn off the light. And then after that, they were like, oh, and then they whispered to me, like, oh, come back. Like, you know, I'm knowing that they're saying come back, just me and Ned.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, all right. And so we walk away. And after that, we went around the corner. And I told them, I said, hey, they just want me and Ned to come in. And they're like, oh, that's messed up. I said, no, we're going to go in, but I'm going to leave the door unlocked. So we come back, like, if we let them go, you know, like, gave it a while. He didn't just come right back. So we like, hey, you hear the party still jumping and all that. So we go, hey, what's up? This and that. The girl lets us in. And after that, I was like, all right. And we in. And so her and Ned are walking in. I close the door, like, real slow where it doesn't lock.
Uh-huh.
5 minutes later, boom, hey, what's up? Everybody from LTM running in, you know, bumping in and jumping, coming in. I was like, oh, what's up, homie? How you guys doing tonight? Oh, yeah. Just, you know, like acting like I didn't know.
But, that's funny.
But yeah, it was crazy. But yeah, me and Eddie used to always get love like that. Like, oh, yeah, you guys can come, but not the rest of them. And we were like, oh, okay. And then we just, you know. And then another time we were at back then it was just throwing keggers. That was the thing to do. Like, oh, get a big keg of beer and then, you know, like, have it in the garage and mm-hmm. everybody's drinking out of the red cups and stuff like that. We went to a kegger that we didn't know these people. I think it was up on 30th or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the garage. And then you have to walk, like, a hallway to the garage. And then you're in the backyard or whatever. So the kegger was in the backyard. We go straight to the kegger. Music's playing and this and that. And then after that, it was kind of like, more dudes and stuff like that, and it was like, man, this party, everybody's kind of like buzzed. So we were kind of like still sober. We were like, man, this is sweet, this party's sweet. And it was like maybe like 10 of us or something standing in front of the kegger.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a door that led out to the garage that you can go out to the street. I said, let's take the kegger. And they're like, huh? I said, stand in front. We all turned ourselves backwards and we stood in front of the kegger, mm-hmm. and like two of us picked it up and like tiptoe. We're tippy-toeing across, and if somebody comes to drink, we put it down. Hey, what's up, homie? Here, let me get your cup. Here, let me fill it up. We're filling up the cup for him and handing him the cup. We looked back around. Every time you've seen the kegger, it was in a different spot because we're moving to go out this door. And then we finally like, all right, people are like, you know, oh, where's the keg? Oh, it's right there. Hey, here, you want? Yeah, give me your cup. Oh, you know, I get suds and all that. You got to pump it. And we're doing all the, like, we're really with the party. We're trying to help and do all, you know, looking all square. Let me pump it for you. It's got suds. Turn it sideways. That's how you make it come out. Hold your cup this way. Oh, right on, homie. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. All right, right on. Pick it up.
That's funny. Pick it up.
And we go out the side door and we take it off and we rolling it down the street. We roll it down. We hear like the music go off. Like, where's the kegger? Where's blah blah blah? Hey, I think they. We're gone.
You guys are gone already.
We're gone. We take it to the alley. We're drinking it. It was crazy. I was like. Then you hear the next thing in the street, oh, LCM came and they stole the kegger from us. They're like hating on us. They're like, those dudes always come up and mess up everything. They came and I don't know how they did it, but they stole the kegger. So like, we didn't steal no kegger. Come on, that's a big ass barrel of beer. How are we going to leave down no car? We just rolled that shit down, rolled it down the street.
That's crazy.
But it was funny how we did it because we stood in front of it and we were just like inch by inch. Everybody had their hand, you know, I had the hand on the side.
Mm-hmm.
People are standing in front. They're like walking with their cups, looking at the people. And we were picking it up, tippy-toeing like, all right, put it down. Somebody's coming. And then the person that's standing in front will move on. Oh, you want me to fill you up? And I'll turn around like if I ain't even holding. And as soon as they walk away, all right, pick it up. I'll turn back around and pick it up. And just start walking off with it.
That's funny.
That's crazy.
That's funny.
We had some fun times back then. It was funny.
How about when you guys, you and Ned, though, when you guys were racking, you guys were going on some missions racking?
We would go to, like, certain, like, little hardware. There was a hardware store on Mission, mm-hmm. like, by 29th and Mission, and then they'd have it in the back. And in that store, it had, like, glass windows, so you can see, if, you know, like, sometimes I would stand outside and... I would look in the back and I'll see Nettie like getting some cans and putting them down his pants or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And he'll come out and then we'll put it. We have a backpack. I'll hold the backpack. Okay, come out. Put what you just got in the backpack. I'm going to go in. I'm going to go get two or three or whatever I can get. Come out and put it in the backpack. And then we'll just move on. Like, all right, here we got like six cans out of that store. All right, let's go to this store over here. We'll go all the stores and we even go down to Castro and get model paint and stuff like that. The little small can that mm-hmm. you'll paint your models, we'll do that. And in the process we were doing that, we were running into other riders that if they were there already and they knew where the paint was or they knew what if we were getting markers or whatever, when stuff started really getting heavy, like stolen and stuff like that, they would send like undercovers in there and then they would like try to like act like they're buying something. So say somebody went in there and they probably like peeped out, oh, that guy's watching. I ain't going to do nothing because this guy's undercover. He keeps walking by us.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps acting like he's getting some, but he ain't got nothing. So we will go in and people are coming out. They'd be like, oh, dude over there, that's the narc right there. Watch out. And this and that. And then soon enough, they were right. And then, you know, we grab a marker right with it, slip it through your sleeve, something like that, and be out. And then, pretty soon, those stores started this thing. Don't let them kids in. Because we never bought nothing. But we always left with something.
You left with
so
something.
They kind of, you know, taking inventory and noticing that, hey, this is only time stuff gets missing is when these groups of kids come in here. And they go straight to the stuff that's always missing. So it's like, don't let them in. We're like, what? We're like acting all stupid. Like, we came to buy something. Like, nah, you guys are just stealing markers and stealing pens and whatever. We're like, oh man, burnt that store out. Yeah.
You know what's funny is that you remember that record store up there close to the Castro is called Bobby G's.
Yeah, I remember that store.
Remember everybody had like
there.
Yeah, everybody had yep. They were up on that stairwell.
Yeah, on the stairs.
Yeah.
Some of the records had some tags on it. I was like, yeah, look, somebody tagged on this record.
Yeah.
Like the, remember Jelly Bean? Because they had all that graffiti on the roof.
Oh, yeah, yeah, from the roof. Yeah.
Seen that album cover? Yeah.
Someone tagged on it.
Tags on there. Yeah. I think Sting did that, the album cover of Get the Roof, and they just put it on the picture. But yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's but, when. What were the spots people. What were people painting before? Before Psycho City and then, you know, and people in Norfolk and all that. And before the alleys.
Well, me and Nettie used to always practice an alley, and it was illegal. So I had like a little parking garage, or not a garage, like a backyard and stuff like that, and it had walls from other people's houses, so we would paint on those.
Mm.
And then back then it was like at Crocker Park, you can come go over there and paint on the bleachers, like on the baseball, you know, bleachers and stuff like that. So we would go up there, and I think TCA was kind of like up there. That was kind of like their spot to paint,
mm-hmm.
like Taz and all those guys and stuff, Swoop and all of them. Those old riders would paint up there. But then a lot of other people would go up there too. And then we would go to schools and paint, like. In the Mission, they had a school that lets you paint if it was something positive. And back then, we wasn't really tripping off painting our names, because I think we had seen some stuff when Doug and Dizzy did that Section 8, that A Section 8 wall down there on Patrill.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of like sparked us, like, man, we don't have to, you know, we can do messages with this instead of this, you know. And then I think there was a lot of like little sketches in that building, because we knew the people from the community all the time, because we were gang members, so everybody was cool with us, and they were trying to help us out and stuff like that. So in that building, they had a whole bunch of stuff from Zephyr. They had a bunch of little like cardboards, and it said some said just say no, and you know, like little messages for his style.
Okay.
And we were like, yeah, that's kind of cool. We can, you know, we started sketching stuff like that. We started like Jet Say No. Back then when crack was called Hubba, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You smoke Hubba? Remember that word?
Yeah,
that word
Hubba. Yep.
Yeah, you know, he got Hubba rocks and stuff like that. We did a piece that said Hubba. We never did Ned Pingo. We just tagged our names after the piece that we did.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, in 85, my cousin, he wasn't my cousin at the time, but he was my homie, and we used to say we were cousins. His name was Nick. He was a spider. He was male GM. He had hepatitis, and he had he was like, I think I was 15, he was 17. He had got a blood transfusion, and he died in general hospital. And I was like, man, that's kind of like nobody, because he wasn't into like shooting or anything, so mm-hmm. nobody would never die from the gang unless it was something like that, you know. So that was like the first kid in my life that died, and I was like, wow, that was the first time I went to a kid's funeral. It wasn't like family or like an older person, and that kind of like, I never experienced that until then. So I was like, man, Missy died and this and that, you know. And the funny thing is, when he died, we went to go visit him in the hospital. This one, AIDS is really like just starting, and you just thought only gay people get it and this mm-hmm. and that. You know, you're naive about how it goes and whatever. So the blood transfusion had gave him that, and that's how he died. But the day that he died, he was, you know, still in the hospital on like incubator and all this, like, you know, tattoos all in his head. And he was laying there breathing and looking like tore up, like, man.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, me and him were so close, it was like, man, I remember like telling him, you know, I got right in the face, and I told him, you know, most times when people die, you tell them after, I love you and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt good that I told him before he died.
Yeah.
Kissed him on his forehead and he squeezed my hand, like, tell him, like, let me know that he felt what I said. So
oh,
that kind of like got to me. And then after that, we were like, man, we got to do something. And that's what kind of like sparked me. Ever since, that was like my first time doing something for somebody like that past, like doing a memorial piece. We did it right there in Cypress Valley. We asked the people, we asked the store, because it was, you know, the wall that goes around the corner, that's a part of the store.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, hey, we want to do a mural for one of our homies that died. And we showed them, and it's like, all right, yeah, you can do it. And we did it and stuff like that. And then there were some guys that moved into the alleyway and then in the house that was right in front of the mural. They were like some wetback guys. They used to like fix cars and do all this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to hate us, like hanging out or whatever. You know, they'll be like, oh, this and that. Something had happened where they threw paint on the mural. They threw paint on the mural that we did maybe like a couple of months later. And I tripped out. I was telling that. I was like, man, who did this and that? And mm-hmm. we were like, we don't know who did it. But then when they did it, I guess they got their feet, you know, got into the paint. And you see the footprints, and I'm like, look at these footprints. They go right to these guys' garage. So I was like, these motherfuckers did it. You know what I mean? I was like, I was mad. I was like, these guys did it. So I go up with a can, and I'm spraying all in the house. It's just nothing really, just doing wriggly lines and doing whatever, circles and all types of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm doing that, I go all the way up to the top to the door, and the lady opened the door, and I reached my hand in and spray inside her house. I'm like, you motherfuckers, that's my cousin here. I'm like, you know, mad.
Yeah.
And she's screaming, and I guess none of the men, her husband or whoever wasn't there. I didn't go in the house. I just reached my arm in there and sprayed it through the can. And, you know, I was just pissed off.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, we see the dude. We see his bottom of his shoes got white paint. And we told him, oh, you did this and that. Mind. He was like, no. He like trying to play it off like, you know, English, he didn't do it. I was like, yeah, that was you. Across the street, there was like a little barber shop or something. He was getting a shave one day. And then I told my homeboy Jaws, that's the dude that messed up the mural for Nick. While he's laying back in the chair getting shaved, you know how they put a hot towel on your face?
Yeah, yeah.
My boy chopped the guy that was shaving. He had all the shaving cream all on him.
Yeah.
Slap the
shit.
He jumped out of that chair and started chasing my boy. He was like, ah, I'm going to kill you. This and that. And, oh, he just ran and he got away. But he just slapped him. He said, that's for messing up my mural, this and that. I was like, man, that's just crazy. He got the shit out of him.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But, what's going on with the alley right now? So you're a curator for that?
Yeah, I'm the one that, you know, people call up and get a spot and stuff like that. And
how'd you get that?
Came along like, back in, like, when it started in 2007.
Uh-huh.
And I had got word of it because I was looking and I was like, damn, I think this is before Instagram. I think just Facebook and stuff like that was out, and you could see people like, where you paint that at? And you know that way it was painted, that it was done legally, because if it was illegal, we would kind of, you know, you couldn't finish all that you did.
Uh-huh.
So they were telling me, oh, yeah, this guy and this lady named Lisa and this dude, Randolph, they run a spot in the alleyway. Which alley? Because I've been seeing in Cypress, the alley that I grew up in, they're like the one behind McDonald's. You just got to go there with your sketch and show them that you want to paint, and they give you a spot. So I met them, talked to them, and I was like, yeah, I told them my sister, like, sure, this and that. And then after that, this is probably my, this would have been my second piece, because I already had painted at the flower shop with Twitch. I painted Twitch, Zor, I think it was Zell, and some other people that was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so this is like, okay, this is the second time painting, let me, the first time I painted, I did like, another little nickname that I'm known for is Seeloo, because my name is Carl Lewis. So it's like, oh, Seeloo.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I, you know, from family and friends. And all the stuff, Seeloo. So I wrote that because I didn't want to, like, start again and paint, you know, something like, oh, okay, this and that. And that was like, I forgot what year that was that we did that. So when this thing started in 2007, I said, yeah, let me try, you know, let me go. I did a pango piece and stuff like that. It came out cool. They said, all you have to do is maintain your spot. So I was like, all right, so this is my spot. This is my little, like, outside canvas. They're like, yeah, if you can keep doing it, you can, you know, keep painting there. But it was kind of small, and I was like, man, if I want to paint something bigger, I want to paint over there. So what do I have to do to get that person's luck? So I talked to Lisa, and I started noticing, like, man, everybody that he's letting paint, they ain't really coming with nothing. They just painting. Like, you know, It was like, that ain't even tight. So I said, once you let me take care of, because I knew everybody, I knew all the writers already. So it's like, let me take care of the writers. You just take care of getting the spot. So Lilac, the first one behind McDonald's, was 207. She had went down to the mayor's office, got everybody that lived in the complexes or the buildings, that, you know, the garages and all that, that had gang tags or this and that, or throw up, had them sign a petition. She took it to the mayor, her and this cop named Officer Keith. The Officer Keith was the guy who told her, I can get you a meeting with the mayor. So he took her down there. The mayor said, fine, if all these people want that, because back then, or still going on today, if you get a tag or throw up or any type of graffiti that's not like art on your garage, if you don't paint it, the city fines you like a $500 fine.
Say
you do paint it. So when you do paint it, whoever did it is just going to come back and do it again. And they, you know, they're going to come like maybe 2 or 1 year at work. You ain't going to be out there trying to watch your wall not get painted. So you're never going to win. So they were like, yeah, we'll sign it. We'll sign whatever. Something that'll get, you know, these kids off of just doing this nasty stuff. And, just, you know, yeah, if we can get something better, that they won't give us a fine, okay, because they're going to keep doing it anyway, so might as well give it up. So he got that started. And once the mayor seen that, you know, that everything was cool, the people were happy, the people were liking the art and all this, the mayor had called Lisa up and told her, why don't you take the next out? So that's how Lilac 2 opened up. And then after that, I think in 08, O'Shea Valley opened up and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
So it was crazy. It just started branching off. And all, I think 2012, Cypress Valley opened up, because they started coming over to Lilac and O'Shea and saying, oh, okay, we got the same problem, so let's give up our walls and stuff like that. And then at that time, I think when they all started like opening me, Lisa and Randolph, I would go to their house and we would talk about ideas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up being the curator of, so in East Alley, two, Lilac 1 and 2, Osage 1 and 2, and then Cypress 1 and 2. So that's like 6 alleys. I was managing all of them, but it got to a point where if somebody asked me, oh, can I get a spot? I don't know which spot was last done, because it's like so many now, but I was getting like, I kept the spots that I were available on my phone, but then I'll be out with my wife and kids. And then, you know, if you got too much on your phone, you can't take another picture because you got, you know, you got to delete some stuff. So it was like frustrating, like, hey, I ain't going to put this before my family. So I don't know which wall is, you know, I ain't going to walk over there, which I'm way over here at the house. I'm not going to go down that alley. They'll take this wall. You know, I would just text it to you and say, this one's available. So back then, Joker was, like, coming up, and he was doing his thing, and he started, like, meeting other writers from different places. He would come to me, and he started busting walls. He started busting, like, long production walls. Like, he did that one up in Alamany, all that long stretch, like, behind the close to Cayuga Park. He got that long line of walls going. And he had met some people from like Europe and Italy and all this. And he was asking me, hey, I got some friends coming up from this and that. Can we get a spot so we can do a big production? I was like, you know what, dude? Why don't you take those two alleys? I gave him O'Shea's. And then he was like, for real? And I said, yeah, you curate it. You can do whoever you want or put whoever. Just give them 3 months to be on that wall. Because that was my thing. After 3 months, the piece kind of like falls out. It doesn't look good. And then, if you're going to the alley, you know, you're bringing people, you don't want to keep seeing the same old stuff. It's like, man, you got to change it. So 3 months is a good enough time for you to bring your family or bring whoever you want to see it. Like, oh, yeah, let's go see it, you know, up close. I'll take some pictures of it. And then, all right, the next person could get that spot. And you can take another spot and be there for 3 months. So he stuck with the rules. He stuck with, you know, the way I was running it. So he ended up running Osage 1 and 2. I was Lilac 1 and 2. That was the first one. And then when Cypress opened up, I was like, I'm not going to get caught with, like, four alleys again. So Mace was around, and then Mace was like, you know, really like holding it down and painting and stuff like that. So I said, why don't you run Osage? So, Cypress. And then he's running Cypress, I'm running Lilac, and Joker's running Osage. We would get with Lisa and, you know, talk about different types of things he wanted to do and stuff like that. And then eventually, like I think in 2010, they, was it 2010? I can't remember. They came up with the Meeting the Styles. Somehow somebody got to them and said, let's just do Meeting the Styles.
The Meeting of Styles. Yep.
And we had it in the alleyway. Like, we did it like two or three times, I think. And then, but yeah, it was cool. You know, we're managing that. And then, that was kind of cool because we had people from all over coming. Most of the time, Meeting the Styles is like in Texas or different. It's everywhere, but it was like, yeah, I'm not trying to go way out there just to go paint. So it was good that it came to us. You know what I mean? And then all the people from all these places were like, I had people from Mexico come out, people from, you know, Amsterdam, all over. It was like, now it's kind of like I'm there at those places because they're coming here. And I'm seeing those styles come in. So it was cool just to see that. And then I think the last one was 2015. A thing had happened with this other organization that was in the mission way before Lisa and Randolph started anything, with Placida Eyes. Placida Eyes was known
for the murals. Yeah,
they were doing murals, and they were also doing it with more like acrylic paint and stuff. Not too much spray paint, but just real like the traditional style, like known for that area, known for the mission, Latino style, with like more acrylic paintbrush type, you know, artwork. And they had writers. They had, you know, I think my boy Swirl, his mom is like the leader, or not the leader, but the coordinator for Placida Eyes. I think her name is Patricia, something like that. Well, she had a mural done by them, by the guys from Placida Eyes, in the alley. When that, I think it was the 2015 Meeting of the Styles came, people are looking for spots and thinking, oh, okay, if it's a toy piece, I'm going to go over it. You know, at first we were trying to organize it and get people spots, but I was painting at the time. Other people that helped organize it somewhere else, so people just decided to take on the spots that they already had, that Placida Eyes had, and paint it over their stuff. And then they got wind of it, and they were like, oh, you guys went to Lisa and told them, oh, you painted over one of our murals, and we didn't have permission, and we were here first, and that mural was painted for all this, you know. So we were like, okay, we can have that spot back or whatever. Oh, the mural looked like maybe like a little kid did it. And then it was also not even that tight or not even that big. They try to say, oh, we want $3,000 for that mural. Like, what?
Wow.
$3,000? What the heck? So they kind of like, since they were from the neighborhood, they were Latin, Lisa's white, they really like landed her name in a paper, in a local paper, not like the Examiner, like
nothing big.
Big paper, but like a little, like, you know, mission neighborhood paper. And they gave her, they know she's this type of lady. She's you know, cultural vulture. You know, they just really made a bad look, put a bad name on her, and kind of like tore her down where she didn't want to deal with them no more, or deal with any more meetings and styles or something like that, because she felt that, man, she didn't do nothing against these people, but here they are saying all this stuff behind her back or in the paper, you know, just trying to make
slander.
Her like, yeah, real bad person. When she came to the mission, I mean, if you guys were here first, why didn't you guys open up the alley? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why didn't you start doing what she did? She did a lot for writers, but you're just doing for what you guys can get paid for and stuff like that. That's what I didn't like. Like, how are you going to slander her for doing something positive in the neighborhood that you already was in, that you could have did this a long time ago? You know? So after that, no more Meeting the Styles. And then they told her, if you want to do this Meeting the Styles, you got to get us involved. And you have to make sure that, you know, we're maintaining, like, I guess they didn't like that she was getting all this publicity and all this type of stuff, not being from the neighborhood, being, since gentrification is coming in the neighborhood, all this white lady just came in and started doing this and that, but she didn't come in. She lived there. She was living there. Mm-hmm. Her house was even painted. We hide from ICP. He painted their cabinets in their, inside their house. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, they're cool people. They weren't trying to like, oh, we're white people, or we're trying to get back to the poor, you know, minorities and stuff like that. Nah, they were living there. They, you know, they used to go through it too, getting their house tagged on and all that, and have to fuck with themselves. But they respected that, you know, we can put some artists to work instead of just, oh, don't write on my house. You know, okay, if you want to write, there, do something good, and I'll let you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my thing. I was like, yeah, let me coordinate it. Let me, you know,
and then that,
organize a little more. Yeah.
That, did that get you in touch with, like, those ex-Vandal guys? Or how does that happen? Because you became a West Coast president.
When Dan 153, he moved out here from New York, I think. I don't know how long he was living here before I met him, but he was coming to the alleys and painting him and Chris Pape. Chris Pape is Freedom from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Pape and him did this one wall, and they did it to Norman Mailer, the guy who wrote the Face of Graffiti, one of the first graffiti magazines.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
They had passed. So they had did a tribute to them. And Chris Pape is Freedom. He's the one that painted the trains in Beach Street. He did those trains for Ramo in the movie Beach Street. So it was kind of like, wow. I had a DVD video of him with Stan on it way before I even met these guys. It was called Kings of Broadway. I still got the video now.
Oh, okay. I seen that.
VHS.
Yeah.
Yeah, you seen that? You seen Stan and the white dude named
Freedom? Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. They came to the alley and they did some stuff. So he was going around asking people when I met him. I think I met him through Lisa, and then he was like, yeah, you know, I'm just a man. I'm Stan 153. I'm an ex-Vandal. Ex-Vandal's been around. He gave me the whole, you know, history of it. It's been around since the 70s. Ex-Vandal doesn't stand for, like, we don't write them. We're like, oh, I used to write, I'm a Vandal. It stands for experience. So he told me the whole how it went and stuff like that. And I was like, he said, we're looking for experienced writers. So if you've been in the game 20 years or more, then, you know, I want to put you in, especially if you're, you know, a pioneer from this city and, you know, all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, I'm down. And then after that, but I didn't want to be down if I was the only one going to be down. If I didn't want to seem like I'm piggybacking off of an old crew, you know, like from New York, and I'm trying to be that much in it. You know, I'd rather rep my own city. And, you know, and this and that. But I just like the respect that he was asking me to be a part of something that had history.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was, like, asking other people, who else is in, you know, because he didn't tell me who else he had in it. And then after that, I told, I think I told Crayon, because me and Crayon were still doing stuff and hanging out. He was like, oh, yeah, he asked me to be down, too. I said, what'd you say? And he said the same thing. Well, I don't want to piggyback off of that crew and this and that. But, you know, I think about it, and then I found out Nate One was in it. Him and Nate One were cool already. Nate One had some Stan 153 cameras in his house, and then he kind of, like, schooled me more about him, saying how he acts and stuff like that, and how he is. He's like a big kid. I was like, oh, he seems cool. So, you know, after that, I'm still decisive of being in it. And then once I found, like, oh, okay, Mason Chew was in it. So I was like, oh, okay. R.I.P. to Cuba, you know, good brother. So rest in peace, Cuba, by the way.
Yep.
They were in X-Vanna. So I'm like, all right, we got like a little, you know, a little gathering here of people from the city. And I'm not just going to be the only one. So, all right, I'm down with it. I'll be in it. So, you know, I do my thing with them and paint. And it seemed like the crew just kept getting bigger and bigger because he was, you know, recruiting other people that was in other crews that was, you know, in it for a long time. So the whole philosophy is you got 20 years or more, you're an ex-band, you can be in this crew.
I see.
That. So, all right. We got a lot of old school writers and everything was going cool. The way I became like president, not through him, but I knew the original president from New York because I went to New York in 2016 on my, I think it was my 50th birthday or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
and no, probably my, I don't know, 49th birthday or something like that. And then I met them and stuff like that. His the Whitney Gary is the president of all the X-Men, you know, from New York. His daughter had died on a bad bus accident. She was on a school bus, college school bus. And she was going somewhere and it fell down in that ditch and flipped over and all the passengers died. And, you know, he was that was his only child. So he was going through some, you know, times with that. He's still kind of going through it. But we had did a piece for her in the alleyway. And then after that, in 2015, he was trying to make like an annual thing. So he had a spot out there in New York. And I was like, I had some of my tax money. I was like, shit, I'm going to go out there. So I had called him and asked him, hey, can I come out there? And he said, yeah, you can stay with me. If you, whoever you come out here, you guys can sleep on the couch or whatever. I'm trying to ask if you want to go. I'm going to New York. Nobody came, so I went by myself. Mm-hmm. Met all these other guys from New York. I met Checker. I met Lava 1, Pitch 1 and 2. All these, you know, old school writers I see in books and all that.
Wow, yeah, that's cool.
So we all painted, and we all did, you know, something for his daughter. And we all painted my name. They were doing, you know, I got it on video. I'll let you check it out. And then, so after that, when we were doing our thing out here, Stan was kind of like slowing down. He wasn't really coming out here. He lived in Stockton when he lived out here. So that was another thing. He didn't live close by that he could come to the alley and stuff all the time. So he started getting sick and he started like, you know, not really like president in anything. He wasn't holding his up to his, you know, his thing and stuff like that.
Yeah, but, up to the title.
Yeah, to the title. So what I would do, I would always report, hey, we paint this. We're doing that. And I would call him up, like, hey, and then he recognized that, hey, I'm filling in his spot by, you know, this and that. I started asking, you know, Wiki Gary from out in New York, like, hey, can I get this person in? I'll show him this person's been in the graph. He's a pioneer. He's been around since my day and this and that. He felt, once Dan found out that I was doing that, he felt like kind of stepped on his toes because he was gone. I'm like, you ain't doing it, you know, so I'm trying to build up the crew. I'm, you know, trying to get more people. So he was like, well, next time ask me and this and that. And then, you know, I started like, okay, I'm respecting you, the elder, or you, you know, I ain't trying to, that wasn't my intention to come in and step on the toes. I was just trying to do what he should have been doing, but he wasn't doing it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't bringing no toys or no whack person. I got Crash and TDK in. Mm-hmm. I got Adana in. I got, my boy Ailes is still rocking it with, you know, a lot of people that I got in and stuff like that just by calling with the Gary and telling them, showing him their pieces and saying, look, this person, you know, I got Vita in. I got a lot of people in before I was president and stuff like that.
Okay.
So when they see me putting in the work and making sure that, you know, people are getting it up and this and that, once he passed, they had a big thing for him out in New York. And then they told me, send me a picture of you wearing your X-Vandal shirt. I have a surprise for you. That's what Wiki Gary told me.
Okay.
I was like, all right. So I sent my picture in of me holding up my finger like saying that we have a X-Vandal shirt. It's black and gold letters on a black shirt saying X-Vandal. And on the back, it says from the revolution to the revolution, YB, what is it?
3YB?
WYB. Yeah,
WYB.
Yeah. And then, you know, all that stuff. And then, so I sent him my, you know, he blew up the picture. And then people from all the X-Vandals out there, they're doing their thing. Another guy had passed away named, I think it was Ray 128 or somebody that passed. But they did everybody that day. They had a big wall. They did Stan tribute. They did that to Ray or whoever his name was, somebody I didn't meet before. They did all this stuff for, you know, everybody that's in the crew that passed away that year or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then at the last minute of it, he says, hey, I'd like to make an announcement. You know, we lost our brother Stan. He was holding the chapter down in the West Coast and San Francisco and all that area and all that. So, would like everybody to know that, you know, I nominated a new president for the West Coast. And then if you don't know, like, you give him a shout out, maybe on our Facebook page, or if you got a summer, give him a call. We'd like to welcome Pango from X Vandals, and he held my picture up.
Nice.
And they all was like, you know, all of them over there were like, Pango, he came out here. Yeah, okay. Hey, he deserves, you know, they started like, you know, backing it up, like, yeah, okay. And he was like, all right, Pango. He like looked at his phone, you know, like on FaceTime, like, Pango, you're the president of West Coast now. So, you know, you've been doing your thing since Stan was around, and I'm sure he would have wanted it that way. And, you know, so do your thing, you know, hold it down. And I was like, ooh. Nice. I got it on video too.
So, wow.
Yeah, but it was a touching moment that, you know, they put me down. But I was like, I was just trying to do with anybody from the crew that, you know, should have been doing, like, hey, letting them know what's going on. I would let them know what piece we were doing, what production we were doing, who needs to be in the crew, how long they've been doing, whatever. Not looking like, oh, I'm the president. You know, I wasn't looking for it, but, you know, it was cool when it came my way, so I just took it on. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, no, that's dope. That's dope. I mean, and to rep a reputable crew like that, that's something else, especially for the West Coast. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yep. It was cool. It was an honor for me because I was like, wow. Funny, I went out there, and then I've seen you some stuff that show you when I went out there, because they had some dude when we went out there. They had a guy that does videos for them. So he walked up on me, oh, you're from California? I was like, yeah, do you mind if I interview you? I was like, sure.
Nice.
And I was doing my piece, and he started interviewing me. And I told him basically some of the same stuff I'm telling right now about Joker taking this out. It was a trip. I'm like, oh, okay. So, yeah, it was cool.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. You know.
So what do you got going on now?
Trying to like organize, like maybe like, well, my vice president is this guy named Grano, this guy named Chris. Mm-hmm. And he does a lot of like dope, like imagery and portraits. You know, he's a good artist and stuff like that. And he also helps out with like prints and stuff like that. He can run like shirts and the badges. They have like a badge that they had put some hats out in New York, and they had like We Are at Vandals on a badge. So he copied that badge and made some for us, and some, you know, just helping out a lot, like helping like organize stuff, help putting things together, getting walls and stuff like that. So we have a big following out here, you know, like from San Francisco, Oakland, I don't know, there's some other two brothers named Champ. There's a father and son named Champ and Styles, Mutt Styles. I think they're out in somewhere down south or somewhere up north. I don't know where they're at, but they're not like close by, but you know, they're in the crew too. So we're trying to organize our own little like meeting the south between the crew, like West Coast, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we got people in LA and stuff like that. So we're trying to find a big enough space, which I think my boy Grano has found in Oakland, that we can like organize a big reunion thing for us, like just the West Coast side, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Because in New York, what they do, they have an old-timers day where they just get all the old-timers. And, they're not looking for style. They're not looking for who's doing burning. You know, they just coming out to paint.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just having a good time, barbecuing. Yeah, and that's what we're trying to do. I was trying to do that in the alley one day, and nobody really showed up. I guess I didn't, like, plan it out good enough. I didn't want just anybody to come, so I'm trying to do it word of mouth. And then the people that I did tell, a few of them showed, and then a lot of other people, you know. When you're older and you got family and you got kids, it's kind of hard to really get out and be a kid again yourself.
Yeah,
so it was like,
true.
You know, it's just exactly whoever gets here, they get here. But, you know, if it was more organized when people knew, like in this month, it's the old-timer day. That's how they do them in New York. They have a certain month that they do it. And you don't have to get told, hey, you want to come out and paint? You just know, oh, okay, old-timer day is coming up next month. I'm going to go. You know what I mean? You plan your day around it. You take your days off or whatever, and you go paint.
Yeah, we should get that over here, man.
Yeah, we should. Call it Pioneer Day or something, because, you know, we got a lot of original dudes that's still doing it. And, you know, it's not about, oh, man, you still painting like you paint. I'm not. said, we the ones started this thing. We should paint how we feel, you know, whatever we feel. It's still, you know, graffiti and still art.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be.
It's funny when you see these kids, they think they made it up.
Yeah, exactly. And when they don't know that before all this, if they never painted with real paint without this Krylon, I mean, without this
Montana low pressure stuff, yep.
Low pressure and
every cap in the world.
That.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's like having a gang full of paintbrushes in your hand or something like
anybody
that.
Anybody can do it nowadays.
You got any,
And then you're figuring out style. I mean, you know, we didn't have the internet, so we couldn't figure out. Like, we didn't see. We were, you know, biting Subway Art and Style Wars.
You would have to go really walk up to this. You couldn't pull out your phone and, like, look at this. Look at that.
You had to be, you had to go take the bus or whatever and go there.
Take the bus.
Yep. And walk through alleys and yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's changed a lot. It makes it easier for a lot of these writers. Yep. I just don't understand, like, you know, nowadays you have so much reference, you know.
To me, I would say that we were painting with like, to my analogy of, like, saying from our type of paint to their type of paint, we were painting with bucket, like, you know, like bucket cars. They're painting with Ferraris right now.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that type of, like, wow, you guys got top notch, and we were starting off with some
primitive
together.
And we only had what kind of palette did we have? You know, we used the palette. I mean, you know, there's no, I don't see any colors like the colors we used to have. But
I feel that the way we came up, it was more original because that's how it was in New York, and that's how, you know, it should have been or should have stayed. But now we got to buy paint, and, you know, it's kind of like, wow, it's kind of turned more into like an art thing, not instead of like a beautiful crime how it was when we were doing it. We had no money. We were going out.
And, you know, what's cool is back then, if you knew, you knew. Now everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know, you could go up to somebody and they're like, oh, yeah, you're a graffiti writer. I know. They might pick out a bunch of writers, like, or they might say Banksy or Obey. You know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody knows anything about graffiti now because it's just, it wasn't an underground thing. I don't think there is any underground things anymore. You know what I mean? Everything's out on the open.
Yeah.
So,
and that was the cool thing about it, too, because when I was going to Mission High, me and Paul was going there, and then we had a class. It was funny that we had a class called maintenance class. We would go around sweeping up the hallways and erasing graffiti. That was for a class, and the teacher's name was Mr. Clark.
Oh, wow.
And we would be janitors. Like, school is this? They're teaching you how to be a janitor. Like, wow, that's really education.
That's funny.
So what we would do, we would go with some graffiti remover and all that, and then we would go erase other people's tags and bust our name
and put your name.
It was funny because me and him would be like, sometimes we'd be all grouped together and it would be like in the hallways or like going up the stairwells, and there's a whole bunch of writing on the wall. I'm like, who the hell is this? Hey, Mr. Clark, you ever seen this one? And Paul's looking like, oh, okay, yeah, I've seen that, you know, like playing it up. Tango, who's Tango? Ugh. We're like laughing at each other, like, can I get some spray, Carl, so I can erase this tango over here? Like, oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead, man. I ain't got no more spray.
That's funny.
So it was crazy. We'd be creeping the halls. I remember, and then one time my other partner from the gang situation, this dude named Troops, right?
Mm-hmm.
There were some guys. They had this other gang around the corner from LTM, it was called Little Park, 25th Street. We were on 24th. They were on 25th in San Jose.
Okay.
Close. That's where Al lived, but right around the corner from the park, too. So they had recruited some guys that were some wetback guys. So these guys thinking, oh, they're getting this gang and this gang, you know, the shit or whatever, not knowing that we were the ones that these guys were like, here, you know, they didn't mess with us. We would, you know, punk on them or do whatever. And when they got the wetback guys in, they thinking, okay, we're from 25th and this and that, we're from Little Park or whatever. They thinking, you know, it's, you know, they never heard of us or whatever. So we're in school and Mission High, and we're walking through the halls, and then this one bumps into my boy Droopy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my boy was like, cool, what's up, like that? And then the dude goes, he throws up to 2 and a 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and there was another 25th Street park, but not a park, but another 25th Street gang down on, I think, Alabama Street. So it was kind of two. But mm-hmm. So then you have to let us know, like, oh, Little Park, 25th, not 25th in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the dude bumps into my boy Drew and says, oh, 25th, like that. And we're like, what? And then he see me, and he's like, hey, this dude's from 25th. And we're like, well, we'll see him. You're like, Simone, you're like telling us, yeah, like what? Like, what you guys want to do? And he's like, all right. We go to class. We go that same night, go up to them. Like, hey, what's up, Wolfie? All of them bowing down. Like, hey, what's up? Oh, what's up, Benjamin? What's up, dude? The dude that you know, that bumped into us, bumped into my boy in the hallway. He's like, looking. My boy just took off on him. Hey, this your homie? What was his name? And he said, you didn't tell him about us? Let me tell him. Wow, 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 wow. And they just watched us beat his ass. And he was like, hey, what's, like, help me. I'm in your gang. You guys let this dude beat up. They're like, no, nah, dude, what happened? What you getting on him? What did you do? Why did they come at you like that? Like, it's your fault. What did you? Why you mess with me?
Right, it had to be you. It wasn't us. That got nothing to do with us. That's funny, man.
He said, I guess he told him in Spanish that I seen him in school. Who are they? Like, this and that. That's this and that. That's from around the corner. That's LPM. Like, oh, okay, and then dude was like, oh, okay, let it go and stuff.
That's fine.
I don't know if he even stayed in that gang. I don't know if he stayed in. Like, I want to go with this gang.
That's fine.
And the funny thing too, back when we first started, Nettie was from another gang.
Oh, really?
Nettie was from a different gang that we got into it with. I think it was 18th Street. They had an 18th Street out here, well, in the city, and I'm not sure. I don't want to say because, you know, I got to, like, but I know he was from another gang. Him and his brother. His brother was named Happy. Nettie was named Silent.
Okay.
And we went to fight with him, and a few of them ran, but Nettie stayed. He had heart. So he ended up like, what's up? Like, you know, and we took to that, like, oh, this food down. He you know, he didn't run. And then after that, we didn't jump on him or nothing, but he ended up, like, you know, you're seeing some dudes that you're trying to, you know, represent running. Like, oh, forget that. I'm going to be with these dudes. And he ended up, you know, getting with us. I just remembered that just now.
That's crazy.
He was from another game.
That's crazy.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, no, it's crazy because, you know, everyone ended up being riders and everybody knew each other from the gang era.
From,
you know what I mean?
From either gangs or rivals and stuff,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, but then even graffiti made it, you know, all peaceful and shit.
Yeah, made it peaceful and stuff.
Yeah, no, that's dope. That's dope, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man. I'm going to fucking end it right here.
Okay. Cool.
What do you got going on? I mean, like, nowadays, I know you're doing the curating.
Still curating, still, like,
you're doing jackets. I saw you did a jacket the other day. That was dope.
Yeah, yeah. That was, my boy. He's from New York, but he came out here, like, in 85, too. His name's Jason.
Okay.
They call him the Kid. Puerto Rico. He used to write, too. It was funny. When he first came out, he was a straight New York. Like, when we would go somewhere, he's like, oh, let's break out. Like,
oh,
that.
Wow.
And then, he was a good thief. And he used to steal. And then one time, it was funny because he was like, oh, where can I get some sneakers? Like,
oh, wow.
Sneakers?
So he had his, he had his,
we're like, finish here? He was like, yeah, sneakers. I was like, damn. I ain't never heard it. Like, I mean, I know what he meant, but it was like, wow, he's even floating. He's right here.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, yeah,
so you're doing the jackets?
For him. Yeah, I do the jackets. I do pants. I think I'm going to do myself some pants just to bring that back because, you know, jackets
yeah.
are cool, but throw some pants down real quick.
Remember that? People
right.
doing, yep.
Doing the legs, yep.
Yep.
That'll be tight. Yeah, doing that and just working, taking, you know, taking care of the family, trying to, like, my sons are in the football right now. They're season over right now, but really that's, you know, being a dad and stuff like that, just making sure they grow up better than I did.
Cool.
So, you know, And also like this new generation, to kind of like giving them some help, like to have them do it the right way instead of just going out thinking they know what they're doing or they know they made it up or something.
Oh, so you're mentoring people?
Yeah, mentoring them and giving them little pointers and stuff like that, trying to help them to develop their style. Because, you know, we got to pass it down to the next generation so they can keep it going. So, you know, I try to be that little support in that way. If I see that they're into it, like, you know, okay, this kid's really trying to do something. You know, he ain't just doing it for the fad or just for the minute and stuff like that. If I see them in the alleyway, like,
really trying.
Oh, he's doing all these, yeah, throw ups. Like, you kind of taking it back to what the alley used to look like. Okay, come on, dude, slow down. You got to really, you know, try to do a clean job, not just, I understand they just trying to go by getting their name out there first and then worry about cleaning it up later. But hey, you know, if you're doing it in a legal spot, you might as well do it clean from the jump. You know what I mean? It ain't like you've got to run off. So take your time and just get it right. This is where you can get your practice in and learn some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I even gave a lot of cats like outlines, like young homies right here. And I'll text them like, yeah, I just, you know, I was bored on my break at lunch, so I just get this outline of your name.
Nice.
Right on. You know, just doing stuff like that. Just, you know, just for the love of the art and for, you know, just helping out in my community, you know.
Yeah,
people,
yeah.
You know, that's coming up.
And, you know, you might change your life, too, you know.
So, yeah, you know what I mean? As long as they ain't in the gangs and you know, you never know. You can stop somebody from shooting one of your own kids. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true.
All right.
You got any shout-outs?
Yeah, I always like, when I shout out, like I said the last time on the other interview, I like to shout out everybody because if you shoot, you know, you give out shout-outs and you miss somebody, you're going to feel like, man, so if I say everybody, I ain't missing nobody.
Okay.
But, so, well, to be off the top of the head, I'll say since I just talked to him tonight, shout out to Quick, O2 Quick, shout out to Ned, shout out to my homeboy Jeff and his brother Dress, and shout out to Joker, shout out, you know, to people that, you know, just off the top of the head that I see that's still out there doing their thing and stuff like that. Shout out to the people that you interviewed earlier, like Run and, you know, people like that, Rule and Shock and all those brothers that put it down for, you know, for this, right, you know, podcast. So shout out to you, you know, and the rest of the TMSC, Doug and all of those cats, you know, eyes that just moved away. So, you know, everybody, you know, much love, and I hope, you know, we can keep this movement going and you know, help develop into something else, you know.
Right on, right on. All right, man, and that'll be it. We're out. Peace.
Cool, cool. Much love, brother.
Peace.
Thanks again.
Right on, brother. Peace.